Now, chances are you've been invited to one or you've been dragged to one at some stage in your life. What am I talking about? Table quizzes. So do the words table and quiz strike fear into your heart, or do they get your heart racing just that little bit faster? Well, despite the advent of the internet and the smartphone, the table quiz has endured, and you can usually find one no matter sort of where you are in the country, I suppose. Damien McAvoy is a long-time quizzer and quiz master, and 2FM presenter Rick O'Shea took his table quiz fascination to, well, I suppose, fanaticism, really, to a whole new level when he won Celebrity Mastermind on TV3 in 2012. We can never congratulate him enough. Hey, well done, Rick.
It's been a while.
Come on yourself. Come on yourself, son. I'll start with you, Rick. How long have you been doing this kind of thing?
Like forever. For as long as you go out with people, and in particular, I suppose, given that most table quizzes in Ireland happen in pubs, for as long as you're going out to pubs and you've got mates who are into that kind of thing, you end up getting dragged into one or two, and you either like it or you don't. And I watch a lot of quiz stuff on TV. I watch University Challenge and Mastermind and Only Connect and stuff like that. So
yeah, I find myself watching those things too. If I get something right in University Challenge, I run around the room.
Yeah,
you've
done well. Yeah, that's a sense of achievement.
I got one this week.
Yeah. That's like me with a sporting round. If I go to usually a regular table quiz, if I get one right in the sporting round, I've done really well.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And what about you, Damien?
I started when I was 10 in a parish hall in Kilnaleck in County Cavan for the Pioneers. That's what got me into quizzes, and it was literally sitting on chairs.
So hold on, at the age of 10 you gave up the drink and you wore the little Fania thing.
Well, yeah. that was the carrot there, right. To not be an alcoholic at 10 is to be able to enter these Pioneer quizzes.
Oh,
and
right,
it certainly worked for me, and it worked for me up until 19. But didn't continue with the abstinence, but definitely did continue with the quizzes.
Do you know, the way you make it look like this is kind of a real deal to the point where it's a science. Like, could you say that something like a pub quiz or a table quiz in its format that we know it now, or in the guise that we know it now, has only been about 20, 25, 30 years?
It's amazing, and it is, you know, it's peaked and it's troughed, and I think it's coming back again and probably in slightly different forms now. It was great and people got into it and you had huge crowds, and then, as you said, the smartphone and the mobile came along and it really ruined it in that form, because everybody was cheating. The temptation to look and see what the capital of Mongolia is, because you just don't know it yourself, is all too great. I think things have had to evolve there, right? So you either have really militant quizzes where all the phones get put into vacuum bags and leave it fair for everybody, or you come up with some different formats. And I have, because I've been quiz mastering since I was 12, have come up with something new where you get people on stage and you ask them so that there's no escape.
It's so you masterminded right up to the stage. Okay, so, like, but Rick, what about you? I mean, like, if you've been at this for some time, like, I mean, when you say you watch the TV programmes, did you realise you had a great interest in this because you had a great interest in the TV programmes?
I had an interest in two things, one of which was TV programmes, quizzes and drinking. And if I could find some way I could combine the two of them, the sad part is, when David was talking there, I went Ulaanbaatar in my head. I was capital of Mongolia. The thing is, I don't understand necessarily the nature of those quizzes. Is where anybody allows anybody to go near their mobile phones. I MC one twice a year. It's for Epilepsy Ireland. It's for the charity that I'm patron of. It's run by Peter, who's the deputy CEO. He's a very serious quizzer himself. He writes all of the questions and he insists plastic bags, middle of the table. There must be four mobile phones on the table or else. And he is incredibly harsh, that kind of thing. There's no point in playing a game like that if you're going to do all the...
Have you ever seen somebody getting kicked out by the earth?
Yeah. Seen it once. I saw once somebody was really being seriously reprimanded and they were like, no, fine world, and they were like, well, no, you're going to have to go then, good luck to you. I think table quizzes have become huge again in the last few years, mainly because I think for a lot of charities they're a great way to raise a few quid. They're relatively easy. You get a room together, you get a lot of people, all you need is somebody to put the questions together and then people to go around and do the collecting.
Yeah.
And because people like this kind of thing, it's, you know, they're more than willing to lash in a fiver or a tenner ahead or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, charities find it, well, relatively easy to get raffle prizes. You make a few quid off that as well.
Yeah.
So it's easier than running some
and
sort of...
And 90% of people know they're going to lose and don't really care.
Exactly.
It's a bit of a night out instead of a laugh.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the other 10%.
you're looking at us. Continue.
Right. But I mean, so would you have to have been good at... Would Trivial Pursuit have opened a door, say, in the 80s, in terms of... That's just became a huge thing.
Yeah, definitely. I got it for Christmas, and it was the best Christmas present ever. It just was revolutionary in terms of the amount of questions it gave you. And again, you have to think before the internet. I mean, it's so easy to access knowledge now. 20, 30 years ago, it absolutely wasn't. It was all on books, encyclopedias, which... weren't particularly easy to access. So it's just come so far. It's unbelievable.
Okay. I still have my first box of Trivial Pursuit, 1988. I was 15 years old. I still have it. I used to win on a relatively regular basis, to the point where my family accused me of learning the answers off the cards, until I pointed out to them there were 24,000 questions in the box. If I'd learned all the answers off the cards, that's much better than knowing stuff. That would have been
genuinely impressive.
So was nonsense.
Nerd of the year, yeah. Rick. Anyway, did you watch Challenging Times and It's Not the Answer with Jonathan Philbin Bowman and All Kinds of Everything with Mario Rosenstock?
Yeah.
So
I remember Challenging Times. I used to with Kevin Myers, yeah. And I mean, I'm one of those kids who, you know, Sunday evenings used to finish off when Where in the World Was Over. Not really Glen Rowe. I was a bit too young to be interested in Glen Rowe, but when Where in the World Was On, or dare I say it, Murphy's Microquizm.
Oh, and with Murphy's Microquizm. With all these little kind of things called the internet or something, or little things, figures running across the screen.
I have a Murphy's Microquizm mug at home. I'm now realising
what an anorak
I'm just portraying myself as.
That's all very sad, all right? By the way, the Where in the World, I used to work with that crew the next day, and they always said, oh, I was working on Why in the World.
When you were on number one.
No, it wasn't number one, it was a movie show, actually. No, number one, of course, was a quiz. I forgot.
You used to be a team captain on a quiz show.
I forgot about that. Completely forgot. Yeah,
I remember
Jerry
that
Ryan
today as well.
And Joe Elliott then took over.
But that was
pop music. Like, that wasn't too difficult.
Oh, well, that's all right then. It's perfectly acceptable when we're talking about music, Dave.
Yeah, but hold on. Okay, let's go to the pub. Let's go back to the pub. Do you still do this all the time and do questions for it, Damien, and all the rest? Is it a regular recurrence? Is it like a side thing of yours, or is this your full-time job?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's a nice sideline. It's always for charity.
Okay, but if you have it in the pub and it's always for charity and it's always a bit of a laugh, should it be a kind of an expertly controlled mess? Is that the best way, or should it be terribly serious?
No, it shouldn't be serious, but it should be fair, and that's the important thing. So everybody, I mean, the best thing that you can say about the night afterwards is that everybody had a really good time. But for that to happen, you need to lay down the law. And you need to make sure that some people aren't cheating and looking at their phones constantly. So
right, I'm just thinking, I think I've done it twice in my life. One for the local school, and we lost. And we lost. We didn't even get the first six, I think. And I did one not so long ago, actually, with Jerry Ryan's wife and a few people. It was bizarre. We were last.
How did that go? Did you go last?
It went down the tube very fast, I can tell you. It was very strange.
No, I think the main thing is that the question that you ask, that there's always a chance that the person will be able to answer it. So again, it's great if it's in a team format that there's four people, and ideally you want two people arguing against two and causing massive rifts.
Yeah.
If it's something like, again, back to what's the capital of Mongolia, you either know it or more than likely you don't. And that's quite boring for the team as a whole. Whereas you want something like, in what year did something happen?
Bit of a guess in some ways.
That's right, and somebody's convinced it's 81 and someone's convinced it's 82 and pandemonium erupts. That's kind of what you want.
It's that moment when you're revealing the answers to the last round and the MC is calling them out, and then everybody at your table either goes, yes, or they all go, no. And I think it does depend on the people. If you're doing, there are some table quizzes that are very serious and they're treated very rigorously. And there is a phrase for them within the industry, which I'm not allowed to use, but that there are these people who go around to every single table quiz they can get their hands on just for the purposes of winning as much stuff as they can. Mm-hmm. But then there are other table quizzes that are, they're kind of medium level. They're just kind of a bit of fun and they're a bit of a laugh and a bit of a night out. There's room for all of these. It just depends on what you're into yourself and what you really want to do.
But I remember on the one that I did, so I had to keep going back to that, which as I say was only about a year ago or thereabouts. Like the minute we'd know an answer, we'd say it out loud. The tables all around us were great.
That's they you attempting to put off everyone else. That's not overly fair.
So what about the people who you know are really good and really smart and all the rest of it? Because you're looking at them going, they don't necessarily come across as nerdy, but they probably done a lot of crosswords. Does that mean anything to do a lot of crosswords?
Well, crosswords would be a different vibe, but I think it goes with the territory that people who love quizzes will probably do crosswords, Sudoku, anything that attacks the brain and challenges it. You see that. But definitely, you don't want to encourage people being too serious about it, and it can get to that point.
Only learning this in the last couple of minutes, there are very different formats. So if there is a format that you would like the most, what would it be in terms of taking part, say, Rick? And like, you know, if there are different types of things the way they're done.
My format, you know, I mean, I think most table quizzes, if they've got rounds, preferably that don't involve sport for me, because I'm awful at that. I've said it before.
I've tried a new format. I tried it in Dublin City University last month, and I'd like to try it out in you both, if that's okay. It'll be pretty quick.
This is a worrying development.
Wasn't
expecting
this. Right now, Rick, come on, team captain. Okay,
very quick. So So both, it's one against one, head to head. You're both three lives. And to keep your lives each time, you have to name one of the 20 answers. So what we're looking for here is the 20 countries that produce the most wine in the world. Somebody starts, if you get it correct.
Can I say, I don't understand the question.
So we're looking for...
most wine, Dave. Who makes the most wine?
Name any country that produces a lot of wine.
Go.
And you want one country?
Yeah. Well, yes, you'll keep your lives...
One that's in the top 20.
Oh, okay, one that's in the top 20. California, although that's not a country.
That's not a country.
Okay, the United States of America.
Absolutely, they're the fourth biggest producers of wine in the world. You've still got your three lives. France, number two.
Okay. Spain.
Number three.
Italy.
Number one.
I have to go very fast, do I?
You don't, no, but you're just doing very well.
So we are on the radio, you know, and people will get bored very quickly.
Until we run out. Where are the shots when I need the most? Uzbekistan.
That is not correct, unfortunately.
Damn.
Not the top 30.
Damn.
I get the feeling he was deliberately attempting to lose this game.
No. Don't tell me Chile's in the top five, is it somewhere?
It's number eight.
Okay, Australia.
Fair enough. Okay. Australia seven.
Oh, yeah, some people poo-poo Australian table wines. I should have known about that one from Monty Python. And New Zealand?
New Zealand.
Okay, I don't know anymore.
You've just said two of them, yeah. New Zealand, absolutely.
South Africa,
number nine.
I'm cheating. I'm on my phone here. Winesoftheworld.com.
I knew there was something about that sudden burst of
knowledge. I wouldn't have a clue. Anyway,
that's what you do, basically. You do it on stage so that there's no possibility to cheat. And it's all very tense, and it usually goes a lot longer than that.
What do people want the most? Is it entertainment is the big one? They'll take a bash at that, yeah?
Yes, to an extent, and popular culture. So another question was the top 30 most followed on Twitter, and people love that because you can guess is such and such a person there.
Twitter, nothing to do with Twitter is a real quiz question. No,
well,
it's utter nonsense.
It's been an absolute hit. So is Kanye there? Is Beyonce there?
But look, for most people, like with all the social media, etc., our new pastime really is the constant consumption of information, and therefore people have become sort of, I don't know, that's one of the reasons why the proliferation of pub quizzes is the way it is. It's just the world we live in.
It is, but I think there has to be a big entertainment value to it as well. So it's not just, definitely, you're not going to be satisfied with somebody just reading out 100 questions and...
I'd love that.
Silence.
Yeah, well, perfectly. Love it.
Well, then what about, like, if you have a pen or a biro and a piece of paper, etc., do they have digital pub quizzes, or have they moved into an age of using that kind of stuff?
I don't think so. I think that gives people the opportunity to cheat anywhere I've seen. I mean, they're much more multimedia in terms of, I have seen ones, obviously, that lots of them have audio rounds these days, but ones that have their picture rounds are now up on big screens as opposed to handing out a piece of paper you used to get in the old days with pictures.
Oh, yeah, like what connects these five actors
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, or who's this a picture of when they were younger and all that.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff. I think there's a big difference as well, Dave, between people consuming information and people retaining any of it. You know, if you're going to actually do this kind of thing, you need to have remembered something. So you've got to be able to remember bits and pieces about stuff as opposed to just
seeing. Well, what were you like in school and college? I mean, I was one of those guys that had to do 20 hours when some guys had to do a half an hour, which really annoyed me.
Yeah, I annoyed you. I was the half an hour
kind of guy. Oh, you were the half an hour kind of guy.
I used to faff off and do almost nothing. But I coasted. I was never great in college, and I didn't get the points to do what I wanted to do after my leaving cert. But, you know, I did okay to get through it, and I used to drive teachers to distraction because it was the whole thing about if you only applied yourself to something, you'd be able to, and then just never.
In the school, I was known as Farna Cairnini, the man of the records.
And look how that turned out.
Yeah, look how that turned out, indeed. What was I going to say? Okay, so listen, Damien, if you just take it like in terms of when you actually set the things, which you do as well, by the way, like do you do true or false questions? The who am I with a little bit of a picture every so often? Here's the ear, here's the nose, here's the mouth, kind of thing. Do you do a puzzle? Do you do music ones? Here, like this is an intro to what, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely a variety. So the true or false one is great because there's only two possible answers and it causes consternation usually in the teams. You leave it so vague that it could be either, or it inspires debate. The more fun they are, the better. Like I do a phrases round, so like phrases that we would use in the English language, what do they literally mean? So like what, a French phrase that we use in the English language literally means bottom of the bag.
Bottom of the bag.
No, I speak French. This is all.
Bottom of the bag. I don't know.
Bag in French.
Tick tock, tick tock. Sack.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Oh, cul-de-sac. Bottom. Very good. There's my moment. Okay.
Very good.
And like you say as well, dingbats around like that. Great. It takes quite a few minutes for people to get into it, and then suddenly, eureka! I have them.
And if I said entertainment first, like where would it go? I suppose with sport and politics, I'd say sport would be quite down in some ways because so many people are simply anti-sport. But those who know their sport really know their sport. And history and geography would be up there, would they?
Geography would. History, not so much. History is quite serious. So geography is more places. We've travelled much more than we used to. So again,
but if you ask, like, you know, name African heads of state or the British Royal History one, which would completely baffle me when I ever see it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I just wouldn't have a clue who Mary the Sixth was or
exactly.
George
so no,
the
you
ninth.
Wouldn't. It's too specific an answer to have to give. So it's always something that will get people thinking, and will get people thinking that I do have a chance of getting this right. Whether they do or not, ultimately, is part of the fun.
Yeah, and one of the ones that's always isn't the periodic table. I would refuse to get involved if that's. Are you good at that?
I like science, and so you know. And for me, if you've got somebody who knows really trashy pop culture on my team, I'll let them deal with that. And I need somebody who can do sport as well. You know, it's always good when you've got at least one mate who knows the sporting stuff. That helps.
Yeah, it's great to have that mix. It really
is.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. So what about TV quizzes that are on now? I mean, there aren't as many as there used to be. Certainly not in this country here. I mean, like, it's all reality, etc. And a half nine or half 7 to 9 o'clock in the evening is that strand of factual television where boring people tell me about their boring lives, and I don't give a damn about Mary with her new nappy.
You don't like telly, Dave? No.
Yeah. No, I quite like a quiz program because I don't see. And you know, sitcoms have gone by the board as well. You know.
That's true, because whenever there was quiz shows going on RT, I would tend to have been a contestant. So you mentioned It's Not the Answer and all kinds of everything.
Yeah.
I was contestants on those with Jonathan Philby Bowman and with
How'd you
Brian
do?
Tuberty. I won in both cases, and so it was, I think, a weekend.
I beat 400 people to win.
A weekend in Switzerland and a weekend in Galway.
I wish those things were around and they still existed. Okay, I did Celebrity Mastermind, but only because it's the only thing.
Wait a second. Did can I just say, look at the modesty? He did Celebrity Mastermind. He won Celebrity Mastermind.
I did that, but only because it's the only thing in this country I was allowed to do. I've tried entering 15-1 in the UK. I've tried entering Mastermind and Only Connect and stuff, and they don't take contestants from Ireland. Like the UK, it's a different story than it is here because, you know, University Challenge runs almost year round. They've moved Only Connect from BBC 4 to BBC 2 now. 15-1. Is back on telly again. You've got stuff like even The Chase is a really entertaining show on ITV, so there's loads of them knocking around there. Just we're short of a really decent quiz show on Irish TV, and if anybody has one, I'd like to present
it. Alright, can
please.
I just
Thanks.
Say that when University Challenge, they did a big documentary, University Challenge, on the people who did like the best scores of the last kind of 40 or 50 years, whatever. And you see like young Stephen Fry and all these kind of people, and of the like 19 out of 20 are miserable alcoholic types in the gutter at the
moment. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah. That's
to make
the
you
nature
feel
of our
better,
lives.
Yeah. Okay, well then, look. So, what's your biggest quizzing achievement, if I can ask? If I can ask you that, I mean, like, how far did you get to? Whatever. Like, obviously, we just heard Rick's. So like, number one.
Yeah, well, I actually did get onto 15-1, so I think they banned Republic of Ireland contestants a couple of years after.
How'd you do?
I got fifth, so fifth out of the 15.
Very good.
You're stymied by all these English-specific geography questions, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, English geography always nails me.
How did Terry Wogan manage that, by the way, when he was on the thing, like when the letter would come in or a thing? Did he have a map in front of him all the time telling him where Bishop Stortford and all these kind of places
I
were?
I presume so, yeah. Or a guy in his ear going, by the way, that's in Devon.
Yes, exactly. Lovely part of the country. I've never been there.
I tried to apply to 15-1 when they were still taking them. I was 17. So it was whatever, 1990. I went up to Belfast for the audition.
All right.
William G. Stewart walked into the room with his scarf on, and we played a version of it in a room which would look like a school hall, and I failed miserably, and that was it. I was sent back never again.
Do you know something? Hold on a second. I'm just thinking of the Mastermind thing here because I saw one bit. I didn't see the final. I didn't see you actually win and collect your trophy. But I remember you were telling me your specialist subject was going to be Woody Allen's movies, and then they changed that. Said that's too wide. Yeah. It has to be Woody Allen's movies. Only from the 80s or something.
It was the 70s, yeah. 70s, I wanted to do all of Woody Allen's movies, and they said, nah, look, you know, it's going to take forever to research.
But then when you win and get through, you've also got to not just do the general knowledge thing, you've actually got to pick another specialist later on. And if I remember rightly, this was your true calling. Didn't you pick the planets and the stars or something?
I picked the solar system.
The solar system.
That was real. So a bit of science, a bit of entertainment.
No, the solar system. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Sir, we have one.
Yeah, right, okay. That's very good. So that's your specialist subject. What would your specialist subject be? Listen, yes, again. Well, I've got so many.
Probably The Simpsons. Yeah.
Okay, no, right. Not bad.
And that's
at
a broad
all.
Subject these days.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. Because the other thing about that is that I saw it once of Celebrity Mastermind, and literally it was teapots, 1492 to 1592, English teapots.
No,
I mean, seriously, come on.
You've got to pick. I think some people who survive best in stuff like that is they pick quite specific subjects and they pick it so that, you know, you're not dealing with everything, you know.
When swatting up in it, then it doesn't take too
long. What about you, Rick, when you won? I mean, what happened? Did you take a break from quizzing for a while?
I had a weird thing whereby, obviously they filmed it a couple of months beforehand, and when I won it, I was on my honeymoon in America. When I came back, I kind of stopped doing table quizzes for a while because I thought, if I do table quizzes, people are going to look at me as that guy over in the corner and go, oh, there's your man. Yeah, your man. We all know what happened to him. He's, oh, look what he's doing here. Yeah, what's the story? So I did. I gave it up for about a year. And eventually I just went, ah, feck it, I'm going. People have forgotten about it at this stage. So I went back and did it. And, you know.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay, fair enough.
I'll be up.
And do you two practice? I mean, like, there are websites, I presume, with sample quizzes and all the rest where you can go out, test yourself and
The practice is watching quiz shows. It's just doing it. You enjoy watching whatever it is you watch. And now you don't go and, like, you know. I enjoy dredging some fact out of my increasingly adult brain that I haven't thought about in like 15 years. That's the fun in it for me, and I don't. There's no point in practicing.
And does one have to qualify to be a quiz master? I mean, you've done it, but you do it even on a more regular basis or on a bigger basis or whatever. Do you have to qualify? Is there kind of a, is there almost a quiz master's exam?
Well, no, but it's basically you do one, and if you bomb, well, then you won't be asked again, or unlikely to be. And if you do it right, well, then you will be. You'll be asked back. So it's.
Would you have a preference to doing one or the other, being on either side of the mic?
I prefer to be the quiz master. Yeah, definitely.
God, I prefer to play. It's a lot less work than that. Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, look, I'll tell you what then. Have you asked us the questions you were going to ask us? Or
I have another topic.
Oh, God.
Now, and I think if you just...
A topic, just
I was
topic.
Not informed of it.
Hold on, I was... No, wait, just a topic, is that it?
This is... Yeah, it's the same...
It's not kayaking now or anything,
no,
is it?
No, okay, it's not. And if you relax, you will know these questions.
Oh, sorry, did you say all that to me beforehand? Now, relax, have a shot, have another shot.
Let your mind run free. So this time...
Don't know.
We're looking for the busiest 30 airports in the world in terms of international traffic.
And is this the same thing that we have to go one after the other, myself and Rick? It's the same, same format.
Yeah, three lives each. God's if you sake. Get three wrong answers, then it's over.
Okay, O'Hare.
O'Hare, amazingly, is not, because all the Americans...
I lost already.
All the Americans just go within America, so that doesn't count as international.
Knock!
Gets stroppy.
Okay, I've no idea. Sorry. Okay, Heathrow.
Heathrow is correct.
Hooray,
second busiest.
JFK.
JFK is
almost
number 17.
Okay, not
right.
Bad.
LAX.
LAX is not in the top 30.
Oh, wow.
You see, it's amazing how few American airports are in this top 30 list. They're so insular. Is that in terms of international traffic, they're not there. So the only US airport in it is JFK.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you an airport close to here that is in the top 30 in the world.
Dublin.
Is, it's the 27th busiest.
Somebody told
million.
Me that the busiest route in the whole world is Dublin to London. Or so.
Is it
that,
is.
Yeah, is that true?
Because
I
learned that in a table quiz, weirdly, about 6 months ago. The busiest international route is Dublin to London in terms of flights every day.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, Rick O'Shea, good morning yourself, and Damien McAvoy, thank you also for dropping in to say hello. You're a quiz master and quiz person. Thank you very much for dropping in to say hello, and good luck with the quizzes.